This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Signature support for our show is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. At the state capitol, as it was more than three decades ago, abortion has been the dominant issue of the session to this point and will likely continue to be so. And a bill, as we know, last week cleared the House Criminal Justice Committee to impose murder charges against women getting abortions in Louisiana. Now, that bill is not backed by the Family Forum and, as we heard yesterday, by Louisiana Right to Life, but the state House will presumably vote upon it. And if it passes the House, it goes to the Senate and may ultimately end up on the desk of Governor John Bel Edwards. But independent of that, Louisiana, based on a trigger law that was passed in 2006 and signed into law by a Democratic governor, Kathleen Blanco, Louisiana, along with many other states, most of the Southeastern Conference states, if not all of them, will ban abortion as we know it. So Roe v. Wade looks like it's dangling by a thread and will soon be no longer after more than 49 years since the January 22, 1973 decision. Here to talk about it are journalist Sue Lincoln, who is former assistant news director at the Louisiana Radio Network, works with the Bayou Brief, and Quinn Hillier, a ranking conservative intellectual, commentator, and colleague who has been with us many times, as we know, and he's based in Mobile, Alabama, and their politics, Alabama's, is they're somewhat similar to those in Louisiana. Quinn, your thoughts about where the legislature is going and where the U.S. Supreme Court is going at this point?
Well, I'm not sure where the legislature is going. I do think that they need to be careful that they do not punish the would-be mothers and that they stay attuned to things like, having some exceptions for the life of the mother, for incest, things like that. And if they don't, then they're giving away an advantage and, in a lot of people's minds, the moral high ground. But Louisiana is a pro-life state, and it would make sense to have pro-life legislation take effect if the Supreme Court lets them. As for the Supreme Court, look, this leak was an absolute outrage. The process is very complicated. These draft opinions, decisions get circulated within the court numerous times, and they get tweaked numerous times, and they are the lineup of the justices changes over time, and to leak any one draft opinion sort of disrupts the process. And that obviously was the intent of the leaker. So where it stands now, nobody knows. But what we do know is that for the very first time in the history of the Supreme Court, a full draft opinion has been leaked. And so what that does is it brings public political pressure on a process that is not supposed to be political. And that in itself is an outrage, not even to mention how some of the leftist groups have responded with their protests outside, not just the justices' houses, but also graffiti and other horrible stuff around some Catholic churches in the Northeast.
All right. Well, do you agree with the presumed court decision?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has nothing to do – I mean, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with being pro-life or pro-choice. It has to do with how the Constitution should be interpreted. And Justice Alito quite rightly cited a huge line of liberal, pro-choice legal experts who said that who have said over the years that Roe v. Wade and Casey – for that matter, were both atrocious in terms of their reasoning. They were not based in the Constitution. Even people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who would find a right to abortion in the Constitution, said that right was not explained well in Roe v. Wade. She said Roe v. Wade was in the exercise of broad judicial power. Roe v. Wade needed to be overturned, as did Casey, because the Constitution does not do what the authors of Roe v. Wade said it did.
All right. Well, as we know, when Justice Kavanaugh was being questioned, he said it was precedent upon precedent, talking about Roe v. Wade, and it is the law of the land for 49 years. And back in the year of 1973, it was a 7-2 vote, and most of the seven justices who imposed Roe v. Wade on the country, they were nominees from Republican presidents. But the times have changed. It's been a 49-year battle, and the conservatives, it looks like, have won the day for a while, maybe for a long while, maybe for a short time. Maybe something will change before the final decision is rendered. But Sue Lincoln, the world has changed in a week. Your thoughts?
Well, my main thought right now is, thank goodness I am retired from having to cover the Louisiana State Legislature. It's painful to watch what they are doing to women. All I can say right now is welcome to Gilead, because we're just about there. The 7-2 committee vote regarding Representative Danny McCormick's House Bill 813 was made by all males. The House will be debating that bill on Thursday. It is titled the Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act, and it states that that you are human from the moment of fertilization. In other words, the sperm sanctifies the ovum. And the other thing that I find extremely egregious, as someone who believes in our Constitution, in our nation's principles, is that the McCormick bill says that it shall be enforced without regard to the opinions of the U.S. Supreme Court, that the state has a right to disregard any federal court decision differing with the act, and that judges who don't enforce may be impeached or removed.
All right. Well,
that's frightening. That's basically inviting invocation of the Insurrection Act against the state of Louisiana.
The seven members of that committee who voted for the McCormick bill are all men, all Republican
right.
men. It is a different issue for women than men. There is no doubt. Sue, we have certainly a distinct minority of women in most legislatures in the United States, including Louisiana, and even on the High Court of the United States until Ketanji Brown Jackson takes over. It's a 6-3 men to women ratio. Your thoughts about women not getting the voice that perhaps should be heard, especially on this issue?
Well, I found it interesting that Mr. Hillier referred to the leak of the draft decision from Justice Alito as being politically egregious, and it is turning this issue into a political issue. For women, as most feminists have long stated, the political is personal. I am one of those women who had the advantage of being able to have an abortion when it was needed. I have had three children, but I did have one abortion because I got pregnant with an IUD in place, and they told me the fetus would not be viable. Under the changes that are being proposed, under Louisiana's trigger law, that would not be possible for me. And I remember the days prior to Roe versus Wade. I had high school friends. I grew up in Southern California. I had high school friends who got pregnant, who went down to Tijuana to get abortions. And I had high school friends who died because of it.
Well, Quinn, Sue gave you a lot to work with there. Your thoughts about men largely making these decisions, which affect women more so than men?
I think that that's sort of a false flag. But I want to start with where I agree.
Excuse me, Mr. Tillier. A false flag. When did you last get pregnant?
I haven't gotten pregnant, but again.
When did you last chance being raped?
Excuse me. As I said, I wanted to start with an area where I do agree with what you said. And that is that that clause that you cited saying that that.
Okay, hold on, Quinn. We do have to take a 90-second pause, but we will pick up with you. And please be cordial. 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Journalist Quinn Hillier and Sue Lincoln with us talking about abortion. They have different opinions about the U.S. Supreme Court decision that is apparently on the way to overturn Roe v. Wade, which was rendered on January 22nd, 1973. So for 49 years plus, conservatives have fought to overturn Roe v. Wade, and appears, based on the fact that three of the most recent appointees, all by President Trump, are in line with the, quote, pro-life movement, that this will happen. But Quinn Hillier, you were in mid-bloom when we had to part for a break. Your thoughts, I wanted you to be able to finish your thoughts.
Okay. I was going to say that Ms. Lincoln is right that the clause in the draft Louisiana law that would say that this law shall exist and be in effect regardless of what federal courts say is utterly absurd. It is completely counter to the Constitution and to the entire tradition of American jurisprudence, and that clause should be taken out. Like it or not, on matters of U.S. constitutional law, the federal courts prevail. And if they didn't prevail, then civil rights would still not be, certainly through the 60s and 70s would not have been recognized and observed throughout the South, et cetera, et cetera. So she's absolutely right about that.
John in Broadmoor. John, you're on with Sue and Quinn. Hi, John.
Good morning, folks. Can we call Danny McCormick's bill what it really is, and it's simply payback? The ultra-conservatives have nursed their wounds about Roe v. Wade for 40 years, and now that they see it's going to be overturned, rather than being thankful for that victory, what they want to do now is pile on penalties and insults with payback. And it seems to me like the ultra-conservatives are all about payback, and this comes from none other than the carrot-headed man himself.
All right, Sue, would you respond to John in Broadmoor?
The only thing I would have to say to John is that is certainly part of what this appears to be. But more important to me is this whole concept of Representative McCormick's bill that says one is human from the moment of fertilization. That's contradictory to the 14th Amendment that states all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens thereof. The operative word is born, not conceived, not implanted, not fertilized. The word is born. And requiring a woman to carry a fetus to term upon penalty of imprisonment or criminal charges as a murderer is absolutely obscene.
All right. Quinn, would you respond?
I'm not going to get into a debate on the underlying issue of abortion. I will agree, as I said at the outset, that any law that punishes the woman for getting an abortion should not come close to seeing the light of day. And any law that purports to, as I said, to not abide by federal court decision should not see the light of day. There is some truth in what the caller said, that some legislators across the country, not just in Louisiana, are using this potential decision as a way to pile on, and I would urge caution. And I do say that. I do happen to be pro-life, but I also understand that this is an issue fraught with all sorts of permutations, and you have to take into account some of the other side, and you have to be careful and to penalize the women, et cetera, some of this is over the top, and they need to rein it in.
All right. Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Hi, Patricia. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. I have a question for Mr. Hillier. All right. So since this court seems to be looking to the Constitution as written for its guidance, I was wondering, since the Constitution doesn't mention corporations, will this court overturn Citizens United? Thank
you. No. There's a very complicated, how do I put it? The constitutional law is very complicated, and nobody has ever said that every word in the Constitution is the only thing that's applicable. The Alito opinion says that there are rights that are not explicit in the Constitution, but that the Constitution protects if they are, and using other Supreme Court language to say this, if they are deeply rooted in the in history and tradition, and if they are implicit in the very nature of ordered liberty.
All right.
So
let's try to
play in the joints to answer the question.
Let's try to get to a few others. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on with Sue Lincoln and Quinn Hillier.
Hi. Thank you so much, Jim. Jim, as I've tried to tell you many a time, it's just another prime example of the theocratic fascists that are taking over large parts of our government. Sir, I'm just concerned about your moral choices here when you say that you don't want to penalize women for abortions, but you want to penalize them to have a child they don't want. So I don't get that at all.
All right. Let's let Quinn respond. And Rebel, if you'll stay on, I think you have a question for Sue as well. But Quinn, please respond.
There's another human entity here, and that is the child. And so that's my answer, that the child has a right to life, and it is clearly a human life. And, you know, as I said, I don't want to get into some deep theological discussion about abortion here. What we're talking about.
Well, that's the problem. It's not supposed to be theological. It's supposed to be the law.
All right.
Please
let him finish. Okay. Sue, would you respond, please?
There isn't much I can say about that. It's a difficult decision for a woman to have to make, whether or not to continue with a pregnancy, whether it is advisable for her emotionally, financially, physically, and it should be up to no one but the woman and her physician.
All right, 877.
And her partner, if there is one.
877-217-5757. In our remaining time with Sue Lincoln and Quinn Hillier will be with us for a bit longer, and then we will go to Tyler Bridges. But who's next in line? Robin Dow is Bruce. And where is Bruce calling from? Bruce is where? Bruce is in Greenville Springs. Good morning. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, morning, guys. Look, I just got one thing to say. Who's going to penalize the guys? We're looking at the women. What happens to the man? You got men taking care of men as usual. I'm done. Thanks. Goodbye.
All right. Quinn?
That is why there are laws that require, support that require paternity proof and should be strengthened, all sorts of laws, and both government and non-governmental outreach should be there to provide support for the women as well.
One of the arguments I've heard is that not only would child support then be required to begin at conception, but then it would be unconstitutional to incarcerate pregnant women because the fetus cannot be given due process under the 14th Amendment.
877-217-5757. We do have to take a break. We will spend a few more minutes with Quinn Hillier on the right, Sue Lincoln on the left, Quinn in Alabama, Sue in Louisiana. The Louisiana legislature, as some would anticipate, is swinging into high gear, trying to impose restrictions on top of restrictions for abortion and perhaps criminal charges. We'll discuss it when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A bit more time with Quinn Hillier and Sue Lincoln, and then we'll turn the page and go to Tyler Bridges, and we'll continue with this topic for a bit. But tomorrow we'll switch gears and talk with General Honoré about other matters. But nonetheless, the topic of abortion is front and center, and it is one that affects everybody in one way or another. Please be brief. We won't be able to get to all of you waiting to talk with Quinn and Sue, but let's try to get to a few, and please be brief. James in Metairie. Hi, James.
Jim, good morning. Good morning to your guests. Just to show you how radical and insane the Christian right has, not only are people who travel, who provide transportation to a pregnant woman, who give the pregnant woman money, but the Thomas More Society, a radical right legal group, is saying that donors to abortion funds could also face criminal prosecutions. We are in bizarro world, Jim.
All right. James and Metairie fired up. Sue?
I agree with what James says entirely. It is extremism at the worst.
And Quinn?
James is right. I wanted to get away to make my other point, but I will now address the bit about how only women should be able to opine on this. You don't have to be black to be supportive of civil rights. You don't have to be Ukrainian to be against what Russia has done. You have had at least four men callers who have come in on the pro-choice side, which shows that you do not have to be a woman to be pro-choice or vice versa. But a lot of these callers are making very good points that some of these legislators are going overboard rather than acknowledging with the laws that they propose that this is a very complicated issue and it needs to be dealt with some grace and some thoughtfulness, not just with radical overreaction.
And
thank you, Quinn.
One survey after another shows that most of the American people, in fact, a decided majority, they are in favor of abortion rights in some cases. Now, Quinn Hillier, there's a political aspect to this. Are the Republican people overplaying their hand?
Well, some of them are, but it's also not right to say that, well, a vast majority of the American public is supportive of the Democrats' position, which is abortion right up until
that's not every Democrat's position.
Yeah.
And I don't think many Democrats want abortion after viability.
The national Democratic bill that Chuck Schumer is pushing today would make it the law of the land nationally to let abortion be legal right up until birth.
It's allowing doctors to make those decisions, not politicians, Quinn.
I'll give you this.
Four of the members who were going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade were nominated by presidents who didn't even get a majority or a plurality of the votes in their presidential elections.
I'm just stating a fact that the bill pushed by Schumer would make abortion available up until the moment of birth, whereas over 60% of the American public says that it should be illegal after the first trimester. Okay, so there's a vast range. If you say, are you pro-life or pro-choice, it's about 52-48 pro-choice. If you say, do you want restrictions here, the percentage is different. If you want the restrictions at this other level, then the numbers flop again. So nobody should say that this is, you know, that this is some overwhelming opinion of the American people on either side. It's a very
okay. Well, my American people, the American people, if it were put to a vote, would allow abortion in the first trimester. And
in
as you know,
you know
as well as I do that most Republicans would not tolerate that.
Yeah, and my point is that the Mississippi law at issue is post-first trimester.
Okay, well, if the court had just stopped at 15 weeks, we wouldn't be having this kind of a discussion. We would be having the discussion about Roe v. Wade being eroded bit by bit, but not like this.
The point is there's a vast range of opinions, so nobody should overstate the case one way or another, that people's opinions on this are complicated, the polls are complicated, and so back to my earlier point against some of these Republican legislators, they are not taking that into account either.
All right.
Okay.
Sue, I want Sue to get in on this. Quinn's had much of the discussion. Sue, would you respond, please?
Kim, you and Quinn have done a fine job of arguing it out. There isn't much more I can add other than thank you to Mr. Hillier for at least acknowledging that it is a difficult decision and at least acknowledging that it does affect the woman primarily involved in this.
All right. Now, for those waiting, we will talk about this with Tyler Bridges, who's covering it at the Capitol, but I'll take one more call for Sue and Quinn. Trish in Grand Coteau has been waiting for a while. Trish, you're on. Good morning.
Oh, I am on my soapbox. Has anybody considered the irony that most unexpected pregnancies are the result of recreational intimate relations? Now, these bills are curtailing a woman's to have carefree recreational intimate relations, while there are many products out there, such as Viagra or herbal supplements, that are encouraging and enhancing men's right to recreational intimate relations.
Sue, what do you think, Sue? Thank you, Trish.
I think it's an example of the double standard that has existed since the dawn of patriarchy. And, you know, it's a cultural issue that should probably be addressed by legislators in Louisiana.
Well, in one poll after another, it shows that about 25% of American women have had an abortion, those of age, and many have had multiple abortions. So there is a political aspect to this, and we'll see how it plays out. And I'm sure we'll have occasion to talk with our guests before the midterm elections. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Quinn.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, and I'm glad you're having Tyler on afterwards. Tyler will do a good job explaining what's going on in the legislature.
All right. Thank you, Quinn.
Thank you.
Tyler Bridges, a Pulitzer Prize winner, covers the Capitol for The Advocate and The Picayune, and the author of several books, the most recent, The Flight, A Father's War, A Son's Search. Tyler Bridges, your thoughts about where this is going in the Louisiana legislature, and I hear you had a conversation yesterday with the sponsor of this abortion murder bill, Danny McCormick. What happened?
Yeah, I did. I was able to grab Representative McCormick after the House session yesterday. The first question I really wanted to ask him was, are you going forward with this measure on Thursday? As my colleague Mark Ballard has reported in today's newspaper and also online, the traditional anti-abortion groups are not supportive of his bill. Mark is reporting that Louisiana Right to Life, the Catholic archbishops, Gene Mills' Family Forum are all opposed to McCormick's House Bill 813, which is scheduled to come up on the House before the full House on tomorrow. And Representative McCormick is a very, very dogmatic conservative, very, very conservative gentleman. And he said he is going to bring it up on Thursday. He acknowledged that his bill is making people feel uncomfortable. He actually told me that he's getting death threats and phone calls to his office and also emails, but he is determined to go forward. He told me that this debate needs to be held.
So he is going forward, and is there any any way to determine how the Louisiana legislature, the House, will respond?
Well, again, if you look at the comments by the legislators who are anti-abortion, and Louisiana has this unique situation, you know, Jim, that of the five female senators, all of them are anti-abortion, and they are not voicing support for his bill. Now, the bill is coming up in the House, but I think that's an indication that even the traditional anti-abortion groups are not supportive of this measure, and I would guess that it is not ultimately going to succeed in its current form. It may end up being amended in sort of a face-saving way to try to get something passed, but it seems like this seems to be a bridge too far.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Tyler Bridges. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, since these Republican legislators care so much for the unborn children that they're willing to force poor mothers to bear, should these same legislators dig into their own pockets to pay for the education and health care of these children?
Tyler,
Jim, I would say, I would simply say, you know, I don't think it's fair to accept the legislators to do so, but certainly there's a valid question, and I was discussing this with Melissa Flournoy of Louisiana Progress, that the legislature should be doing more to help women who do give birth, certainly with child care and a number of things that the legislatures have not chosen to do over the years.
877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, it came down to one vote, Senator McCain voting not to repeal Obamacare, which provides for maternity services so women could have their children. And then on the Republican Party, in a second, would take, without anything to replace, maternity services for women, not to mention paid maternity leaves, which has no support. But yet they want these women to have children under unaffordable, unimaginable financial conditions. It is beyond imagination. It is radicalism beyond radicalism on the part of the Republican.
All right. Okay, David. Well, there are about 14 states with Republican governors who did not take the Medicaid money under Obamacare. Louisiana did under John Bel Edwards after refusing it under Bobby Jindal, and that's a question for whoever is going to win the governorship next year. Who will take the Obamacare money for Medicaid? And Louisiana is, of course, one of the biggest recipients because of our poor population, and who will say we shouldn't take the money? We'll talk about this and more with Tyler Bridges, Pulitzer Prize winner, covering the Capitol, and he is with us after this quick timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Donald John Trump carried Louisiana by more than 400,000 votes when he beat Hillary Clinton here in 2016, and he won by 399,000 votes against Joseph Biden in Louisiana in 2020. And notice there's no call for any kind of voter irregularity in Louisiana because these are states Trump won, as he clearly lost in states that he claims he won. But nonetheless, those who voted for him, and there have to be many women who did so, and he got about 80% of the white vote in Louisiana, 80%, which means a lot of white women voted for him. Now some of these women are having the reality of Donald Trump having the authority as president to impose his will and his movement's will to put three pro-life justices on the court. And of the five justices who are going to overturn Roe v. Wade, apparently, three of them are Trump appointees. And this has caused some people to take pause. One of them, I will keep her name out of it since I don't know if she wants me to use it, but she wrote a letter saying, I want to thank you for your reporting on the anti-abortion legislation. Thank you for showing the right to lifers that there is another side. I'm glad I had an abortion at 26. It was the correct choice for me. Thank you very much. Now, Tyler, you followed a lot of elections, and women generally don't go around talking about abortions. It's a personal matter, and it's nobody's business but theirs. But as I stated, it's fairly apparent by the number of abortions in this country that about a quarter of the women in our country have had at least one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe more, but at least one abortion, in most cases one. And I would think that when you alienate a quarter of the electorate it is a problem. Your thoughts about the political ramifications of this, and of course we see one lawmaker in Louisiana who's just going wild, wanting to impose murder charges against these women.
Yeah, Jim, I really can't state about what all this means nationally, but it's very clear that Louisiana is an anti-abortion state. It's well known that Louisiana has the only Democratic governor in the Deep South, but Governor John Bel Edwards when he was a state legislator and now as governor, has a very consistent and strong anti-abortion record. It'd be very difficult for a Democrat to be elected to statewide office without that. Although it is interesting, Representative McCormick's bill is the one you just referenced that could treat women as murderers if they have an abortion. There is opposition within the anti-abortion movement that they think that his bill goes too far. Again, his bill is scheduled to come up Thursday. But again, there's all sorts of efforts by the anti-abortion movement to block abortions. And in fact, just this morning in the House Health and Welfare Committee, State Senator Sharon Hewitt has a bill up that would criminalize vendors who send abortion pills to women in Louisiana. And it would also emphasize that these pills can only be prescribed and taken under a doctor's supervision.
There you go.
That bill has already passed the House, but the Senate is now before a House committee.
Which means that if you're a person of means, mostly a white person of means in Louisiana, you go to your doctor, and 54% of the abortions in this country are done pharmaceutically. Abortion will still be available. It will still be in place for some people. But people without means will probably have to have children or travel a long way away. And in some of these states, as we know, there are waiting times. You can't just go in and get an abortion. And so it's an imposition on people who don't have means that it doesn't involve those who do have the resources to get an abortion. If a state lawmaker has a daughter, a girlfriend, a wife who wants an abortion, he or she will be able to get that done, even with Roe v. Wade being banned. But that is the way of the world, and now we'll see what the implications are. It will help or hurt. There's no doubt one party or the other, and we'll find out how it goes. Now, in the legislature, and they're not stopping with abortion, they're diving in on other sensitive bills, and the so-called Don't Say Gay bill looked like it was dead. It was killed in committee, but Tyler, what happened yesterday?
Yeah, it was resurrected on the House floor through a parliamentary move called if a majority of at least 53 members in the House out of 105 members of the House would vote to discharge the bill from committee. That was done by State Representative Raymond Cruz, who is a very conservative legislator from the Shreveport area. He's not a member of the Republican leadership team that in the House, so this was not done with the leadership's blessing. And as you know, reporters, we sit on the House floor, as you know, Jim. And so I was able to watch what was happening after that bill had been discharged to what's called the Committee of the Whole, with the whole House being able to take it up. But under Committee of the Whole, both sides can present testimony from various people. It can be a very messy affair. So I was watching movement going around to maybe try to derail that vote yesterday, maybe send it back to the House Education Committee where it had been, or do something else with it. Something is going on with the Don't Say Gay bill that will manifest itself either today or tomorrow, I'm guessing.
And transgender legislation looks like it's headed to the governor's desk again.
Right, and of course that was the bill that he vetoed last year, and then there was an effort to override that veto, and it just barely fell short in the House.
Dave writes, I'd like to propose an analogy to the abortion question. Let's say I'm a cancer patient needing a bone marrow transplant or I will die. What if there's only one person on the planet who is a match for my bone marrow? Can I force that person to give me the bone marrow, not use their body to live, not make a home inside that person, just have a little bit of their bone marrow? The answer is no. My right to live doesn't supersede the bodily autonomy of the donor. Neither does a fetus's right to life supersede the mother's bodily autonomy. For this reason, abortion writes Dave, must be a decision made by the mother and the mother alone. That from Dave. Henry at the Country Club. Henry, you're on with Tyler Bridges. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Tyler. Good talking to y'all. Look here, we know that hypocrisy doesn't exist up there at the state capitol, so I was wondering maybe one of y'all fellas could tell us how many of those legislators have taken pledges of celibacy outside of marriage. Thank y'all very much.
Henry, of course, has a loaded question, but many of these lawmakers, as we know, they are not celibate. And some of them play the field even though they're married. And if they impregnate one of these women they're playing the field with, Tyler, they might have a different perception on abortion.
They might, but I'm not touching Henry's question, I got to say.
Well, it's just a matter of reality that these lawmakers, there are 144 of them, most of them are men, and I would suspect that in some cases, they have been involved with women who had unwanted pregnancies and may have gotten an abortion. And when Donald Trump, who with Chris Matthews was the first I know of, first national politician to say that women should be punished for having abortions, punished by the law, meaning going to prison or worse, when he was asked by Maureen Dowd if he was responsible for any abortions, he said, "That's an interesting question. What's your next question?" At least he didn't categorically deny it, but I think we know the answer. And the world is far more complex than many of these lawmakers wish to acknowledge. Are they doing this on behalf of their constituents, what they feel their constituents want, or are they doing it because they really believe it, or is a combination of both, Tyler?
Well, I'm sure there's some level of combination in there. Again, this is a very, very strong anti-abortion state, one of the most anti-abortion states in the union. And you know, we've seen consistently over the years anti-abortion legislation pass the legislature and be signed into law by the governor. And going back to 2006, Louisiana passed the trigger law. If Roe v. Wade were overturned one day, then abortion would become illegal in Louisiana. And I think in many ways these legislators are reflecting their constituents' views.
Well, back in the day in 1990 when Buddy Romer vetoed two abortion bills, which probably cost him the governorship, he did so on the advice of his counsel, one John Neely Kennedy. And John Kennedy, of course, now says, I've got an email from him, Tyler, saying we must at all costs protect the right to life. I keep my promises. The left is working tirelessly to destroy what should always be deemed as most sacred life. They are unconcerned with the harm they cause and the destruction that is created from their Marxist agenda. It breaks my heart. When I first ran for the Senate, I always promised I would be a voice for the voiceless. I need your help in my reelection campaign so I can continue to fight the radical left's war on unborn children. That from John Neely Kennedy, the erstwhile pro-choice lawyer who advised Governor Charles Elson Buddy Romer in the year of 1990. Kennedy had an epiphany. I wonder what happened, Tyler.
Well, clearly, Senator Kennedy has shifted to the right. Of course, he was a Democrat for a long time, ran for the Senate, as you know, Jim, as a Democrat, lost, realized that the state had moved to the right, that it was tough to get elected as a Democrat. And today, according to polls, appears to be the most popular elected official in Louisiana.
That is true. But somebody, who was it? It was Hal in Monroe, points out that the LSU poll a few weeks ago shows that the margin on abortion is close in Louisiana, 49% pro-life, 46% pro-choice. So it may be closer than some think. But Tyler, we have to run. Thank you as always. Keep going. Appreciate your work and your comments. And First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet provide signature support. Stay safe. Stay tuned.